Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community of poets, of writers, of lovers of the spoken word. Welcome home. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the January 24th, 2020 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm sitting across from my co-host, the man who keeps everything moving. His toes are all doing something very important, I'm told, Mr. JT. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Evening. I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. We haven't seen each other this whole week. We didn't get to get together.
I know.
And because you're finishing your last semester in school.
I have one class on a Wednesday.
So there might be some crazy stuff we don't know about that's happened, transpired over the last, 6 days now, because we had a class last Saturday?
Yeah.
Anything crazy happened?
I got to hit the red button at work.
Okay. What does this red button do?
It's code yellow. It's for disruptive behavior.
Oh, so within reason, what was the thing?
Basically, patient was upset that they had to wait in line.
Okay, so what happened?
He kept. Well,
what did you do before you pushed the red button?
Well, let's just say no. Actually, what I did was I was dealing with another person in front of me. And then this one, just getting attention, kept speaking louder and louder and louder. So I gave him his attention, leaned over, asked him if there was a problem. He said no, in a very stern, loud voice. Like, all right, because it sounds like there is. Just want to make sure.
Just checking.
Yeah. You know. He asked me where my coworker was. At lunch. Oh, convenient. And then told me to get back to my effing job. And I said, we don't tolerate that, but, you know, look, if there's a problem, you know,
yeah,
I can deal with this. And he just kept mouthing off, and I just said, do you need me to call the cops up here? You know, I can hit this button. He goes, go right ahead. And I'm, you got it. Click. your wish is my command.
Yeah, JT, we're going to get you out of there.
I know we are.
By the way.
Yeah.
I was just talking to your wife upstairs before I came down here. She's on board.
Yeah.
We're getting you out of there.
Yeah.
We're going to get you on the road to creative freedom, my friend.
Yes, please.
I'm so excited about this.
And then I can use my other skills for other things.
Yes, for reality, right? For stuff that matters. But here's the other side.
Yeah.
Now we can do this show 7 nights a week.
We could. We could. I don't know if we'll have the audience.
15 nights a week.
Yeah.
We do it all the time.
Yeah.
Never stop doing the show, JT.
Right. 24/7. I think our listeners would just...
Oh, they would be very, very obviously right in telling us to shut up and to go away.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope they would do that. I think they would extend us that courtesy. At any rate, that's a funny story.
Yeah.
And I actually never heard that until just now.
And I'll tell you more later.
Okay, great. Yeah. So for me, I started starting to direct this musical.
Yes.
And a big concert coming up in April. And with some kids, and they're fantastic. They're so cool.
Good.
And great musicians, actually. Tons of musicians.
Good.
And it was just a lot of fun. So between that and between my normal jobs and the lessons and all this stuff, I'm like, whew, that was a serious week. And I'm talking like up at 4, not in bed till, 11:30. I'm like, how is this? But at the same time, I feel great the entire time.
Good.
I love what I'm doing. So it's not even remotely a problem. So I've had a really good week as far as that stuff goes. I know that this has been a pretty intense week for our nation. It's been a pretty intense week for a lot of things. But I think that tonight is a great night for us to commune together, to join together, to share in the community. And that's the special thing about what we have here. And by the way, I'm looking at the chat room. I see Dennis. Very true statement. Be careful what you ask for. JT will supply it. And you know what? That is so true. It's so true. All right. So let me, before we get into this, I'm going to read the rules for the show. Actually, before I get into the rules, though, I'm going to throw this out. If you're listening and you want to support the show, we have this awesome 2019 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. It's a book we put out once a year. And poets contribute their poetry to it. We put this book out, and the sales of that go directly to pay for everything for the show, like the website hosting and all of that. And so that's really how we fund the show for the year. So that's available on Amazon. If you go to our page, you'll be able to click in and follow the link, or just look up World Poetry Open Mic Anthology, and you'll see all of our previous anthologies, including the 2019 one, which is a square. It's a square, JT.
Not a circle.
No, it's not a rectangle. It's a square. Yeah. Good luck putting that on a pizza pan. Doesn't fit.
No. Just corners.
Just the corners are just such a problem.
Unless you get a pizza pan bigger than the square.
That's the answer. That is why you are the technical genius you are.
Well, I try.
All right. Here are the rules. Rule number one, no hate speech on the show. We've never done it. We never will. This is a friendly, great place where we can kind of share openly without any regard to it otherwise, except for these. Rule number two, please skew PG-13 if you can. We're trying to make this a friendly place for families, for younger people to listen as well. We're not in the business of censorship. However, if it gets a little too gratuitous, with this language, we do reserve the right to jump in and to end the poem. Rule number three, please be prepared with your poem when we come on the line. It's just a thing to kind of help everybody, help the flow of the show. And it gets late pretty fast, especially on the East Coast there. So we want to make sure that we're just being mindful of everyone's time. Rule number four, please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. Once again, it's just a respect thing. It helps the flow of the show. And the last one is for JT and myself. We're all doing stuff. We're consistently moving around, having to look things up and work on things. It's hard for us to remember. So if you have questions, if you have comments, we really do want them. Send them to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form. That's the best way to get a hold of us and to kind of get on our radar, because we do take those ideas and make changes to the show. So we really appreciate that. All right, all of that aside, we're going to be doing a segment with 5 unique callers first. Then we'll be doing another segment with another 5 callers. So you're answered in whatever order you call in. If for some reason we get all 5 and then we still have people trying to call in the second, we may even do a third segment. After that, when we realize that it's kind of been, we've gotten through everybody, we'll do a return engagement where everyone can call back in, share a new piece, or if you're calling for the first time, you can share one then too. So we need 5 unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
JT, did I tell you about the macaroni and cheese?
The macaroni and cheese?
Did I tell you about this?
I don't think so.
This is a real thing. So I went up with my brother James and with my mother and my father. We just kind of decided to go for this ride together, and we went up to a place called Indian Hills, Colorado. Mm. It's up 285 out of Denver, up kind of into the mountains. And if it's not very far out, it's probably like a half an hour drive.
Okay.
But when you turn into this little alcove, there's this kind of cabin. And it is a macaroni and cheese restaurant. So it's essentially like Noodles and Company. There's different toppings and all kinds of stuff with homemade macaroni and cheese.
That's their specialty.
Right. So okay. We ordered the food. It's a really small place. It's cold outside, right? So we sit down. There's this fire going. So I'm literally sitting next to the fireplace, a stone fireplace, eating macaroni. And I'm sitting there going, you know, I don't eat this food that often. But this is probably the best way ever to do it. You know what I mean? Like, you're sitting there, it's, you know, your back's warm, you're in this small cabin up in the mountains, and it's cold, and you're eating this really, and they just made it right then. Fantastic stuff. So that was just this last weekend. Yeah,
right on.
And so, yeah, I guess I haven't told you about the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
The incredible experience of the macaroni and cheese.
Better than the previous time that we had the macaroni and cheese, or that you had the macaroni and cheese up in Fort Collins.
Definitely better than that.
Yeah.
That
okay.
time. Yeah.
Good.
Definitely better. Although, I have a feeling that if we made the trip up to Iowa for that one restaurant we talked about, I'm sure there's some macaroni and cheese up there. It's going to be incredible.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go step back to poetry. I was about to start talking about food just nonstop. We have a food show one night. Hey, you ever had a hamburger? All
right. Oh, what's it taste like?
All right. So, before we get into it, we got some great callers lined up. It's a really kind of thriving night tonight. I'm really happy about the energy here. But we have a submission from our friend Susanna Bailey. And this is Sparrows and Sirens. I'm going to try to do it some justice here. Sparrows and Sirens. Shrinks approve of gardening for reasons of their own. Something to fill the holes where the light leaks out. Confronting the Rorschach of bloody sheets, they ask, what do I see? I see roses. I see children sinking into the dark earth under skies of color of bruised thighs. I fill each storied wound with seeds, grafted sin. I feel roots burrow into my veins. Stories flow to my mausoleum mind. Daisies in my hair. Golden eyes turn with the sun. Jasmine twines my limbs. Primroses gather at the meeting of my thighs. Daffodils erupt from my chest. Each concertina breath expels a stale air and dust of years. Butterflies come, blackbirds, thrushes, sparrows, breaking the silent earth, seeking worms, reclaiming the night. Flowers grow, seed and die, xylem and phloem collapse, and fill my arms with dissected atoms, innocent of memory and intent. When the sirens are silenced and flowers are gone, the sparrows alone in the dark sing on. And that was Sparrows and Sirens from Susanna Bailey. Wonderful, Susanna. If you want to submit a poem like she did, you can do it at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com or in the contact form at our website, worldpoetryopenmic.net. Just indicate it's a submission for the show. Thank you so much, Susanna. We love your work, and we're glad to hear that you're safe and that you're, I think you're listening at this moment. I'm not sure. You may be.
She was at least in the chat room.
Okay, yeah. Good. All right. So now we're going to head to the callers. Let's go, first of all, to the carpal tunnel of the Mitten State. Let's go to George. Good evening, George. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm just splendid.
All right.
Just splendid. I could tell you I could tell you a lot more, but I have to invoke executive privilege.
Oh, we know that is the governing law of the land, is executive privilege. How dare we take away these executives' privilege?
those privileges have gone right through the roof, man.
I'm going to start using that to cover up everything. Why did you just walk out of here with that sandwich? You were supposed to pay for it. Executive privilege, man.
Executive privilege. Yeah. That's right, brother. That's wonderful, isn't it? I got two, and I'm trying to decide between a Charles Bukowski and a George Wiley list poem. I guess I'll start with the sort of a shallow George Wiley list poem and go with Bukowski later on. This is a list poem, and it's not a poem. It's not quality. It's called Our Mothers Lied to Us. They told us we'd get hemorrhoids from sitting on the porch. They said if we eat carrots, we'd be able to see in the dark. That if we swallowed our gum, it would be inside for years. That if we touched a toad, we'd get warts. That if we made bad faces, they would stay with us forever. That if we played with our privates, our hands would grow hair. That the prettiest girls were evil inside, but the ugly ones were golden. That eating spinach made us stronger than everyone else. Thanks a lot, Popeye. That if we crossed our eyes, it would stick that way. That if we sneezed with our eyes open, they would fall out. That if we didn't cut a cross on the loaf before baking, the devil would sit on the bread. That if you bring a banana on a ship, the ship will sink. They said if the ice cream truck was playing music, it means they ran out of ice cream. That if you had that you had to be 16 to buy coffee. So when at 16 I went to buy coffee, I thought I was going to be carded. That they didn't sell replacement batteries for some of my toys. Our mothers told us they didn't have a favorite child. That the animals on the side of the road were just taking naps. And the biggest lie, it won't hurt, I promise. But they also told us that you can't tell a book by its cover, which is true. That actions speak louder than words. That telling the truth was easier than lying because you have to remember lies. And that telling us no was just as loving as telling us yes. End of peace.
I don't know, George. That was pretty affecting. So I think that was a
interesting age restriction on coffee.
What did you say? I didn't hear what.
Interesting age restriction on the coffee. That made JJ and I both laugh. We thought that was great.
I know. They told us that, man.
You know, I think I was told something like that too. You know, yeah. And then the no like replacement, that. The no replacements on the toys. That was a real thing too.
Yeah.
And your toys don't have battery replacements, George.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Man, make those batteries last.
That Santa doesn't have it together at all.
But some
batteries for birthdays.
You know, but somehow I was never told they didn't have replacement batteries until the batteries had used themselves up.
Right. Don't know how they got used up. Especially if you have a sibling that's using that toy when you're not around and eating the battery up, then you're all mad, you know?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. Well, anyway.
Well,
that's my piece for tonight.
George, that was really enjoyable. Thank you. Yeah. And everybody in the chat room really enjoyed it as well. So I think you slam dunked that one.
All right. Thank you. I'll get it stuff aside.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
And that was George calling from the Mitten State. We need to come up with a theme song for the Mitten State. We have so many callers from Michigan.
Another theme song.
Well, I mean, I figure you got all those buttons over there, you know. You could just mash your hand down. Don't do that, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because chaos. It's statistically shown that chaos makes people tune out.
You know what? You're right.
Yep. All right, let's go now to the carpal tunnel of the Mitten State.
Oh,
sorry. Let's go now to Dennis. Hello, Dennis.
Hello. It's Friday night.
Great to hear your voice, sir. Happy you're with us. How's everything where you are?
It's going good. We're getting a deluge this week with the rain, so we're getting a variety. So who am I to complain?
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, we're enjoying kind of a strangely warm period right now, but trust me, it'll go away soon, I'm sure. So. Yeah, we'll be snowmobiling and fighting the abominable snow monster again. I couldn't say abominable today. That was really strange. Anyway, we'll be doing that before long. At any rate, Dennis, I'm going to step back. I'll let you read and we'll talk after, okay?
All right. This week, my first read, I care to share a poem by Natalia Gosha. And she's a poet friend from a stone's throw from Toronto, Ontario. I think it's in Mississauga. I'm not sure how to say that other one. So I just say she's real close to Toronto. But she's a lovely poet and artist. And she asked me if I would read a poem for her this week. And I gladly to oblige her in doing so. The title of this poem is Winter Wind. Lonely wind, flying, trying to enter, seeks for shelter and does not find, deeply sighs. Breath of wind, soft, thaws the frost on the windows with the yellow eyes, touches the glass with his cheek, with longs for heat, hoping that the yellow light will warm him. Everything existing cherishes his loneliness, but the wind is piercingly searching, wanting and not knowing who to say, miss you. End of poem. A poem by Natalia Gosha.
Beautifully done. Great read. I love Natalia's work as well. I think you really know how to... That's one thing I think that maybe Dennis doesn't hear that often, although I know we express appreciation for it. You're really good at choosing the pieces, I think.
Yes.
That seem to really fit the way you present, and that was a good example of you both kind of choosing it, but also framing it the correct way with the read.
Well, she actually chose that one for me to read.
Did she? Great.
And I wasn't given a list of poems.
Credit to her then.
quite a few poems out right now on Facebook. If you look her up,
oh yeah,
and you'll see her artwork plus her poetry and some of it together. So she's a very creative person, very talented, and so very friendly and encouraging to others. She's a wonderful addition to our family here, and we're going to get her to read some of her poetry one of these nights.
Absolutely,
it just hasn't happened yet.
We're working on it. I'll go to work on her, too.
Yep.
Yeah, I will.
Yes. All right.
Wonderful.
All right. That's what I have to start my first read of the first set. So I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic. I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis also calling from Michigan. There's some good stuff going on. I don't know what they got in the water over there or something, but man, for years now. They're like the New England Patriots of poetry.
No.
Just because you hate the Patriots. Come on now.
I don't hate them. I don't like them.
Okay.
Very strongly
fair.
Don't like them.
Fair enough. I understand the difference. We'll see. Would you hate them less if Tom Brady stopped playing for them?
No.
It would be just the same thing. You'd just be waiting. They need to lose for a while before you'll actually let them back into your heart.
Yes, yes. They need to lose for quite a while.
They need to grovel a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be knocked back down to where they should be.
They need to have happen to them what happened to the Broncos.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Run through about a string of... No, the Browns. I'll go for the Browns.
When Belichick and Brady leave...
I know.
And McDaniel somehow steps in, it's all over.
It'll be the Browns.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Let's go to someone who's completely immune from these kinds of concerns. Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Good evening, Cynthia.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What a nice treat to hear another Canadian through Dennis.
Yes, I know it's a surrogate Canadian, but it's a Canadian nonetheless.
Oh, it's awesome. What a great poem. I come from around there, so I can I can so relate.
Oh, that's great. That's great. How's everything going for you?
Pretty good. I'm so busy, but that's a good thing.
That's kind of my problem too. I'm just kind of like spinning in circles trying to survive at the moment.
That's kind of my life. And then I did a really great thing today. My friend Ingrid Rose read this Writing from the Body workshop where we did it over the internet, but you just lie down, she guides us through, and we kind of meditate, then write poems out of it.
Oh, that's cool. Okay. Yeah.
Although I haven't got it together enough to read, so I'm going to read a different one.
Okay. Okay.
I might read that one in the second set. We'll see.
Fair enough. Okay. I'll step back. I'll let you read, and then we'll talk after. Okay.
Okay. So I'm about to start doing poetry workshops. I teach workshops all over British Columbia. So this is the poem. I read it before, but not for a while. This is the poem I used to open my workshops. So this is Remembrance. When you look at your palms, what stories do they hold? What spirits have you loved? What work have you done? What have your hands built? What children have they held? Have they washed dishes, served coffee, poured tea, painted pictures, cleaned the containers, wiped the room down? Have they soothingly filtered sand, or tenderly touch the smooth ocean-washed stones by the sea? What strength is in your fingertips? Do they lightly brush the hair from a child's eyes, press deeply into the strings of a guitar, gently caress your partner's skin? What stories are in your hands? End poem.
Very nicely done. Yeah, what'd you think of that one, JT?
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I could tell you did. Yeah, you really.
Very.
Thank you. Yeah, I used to have just all these lists of questions to get people writing, and then I put them all together and thought, oh, that's kind of a poem. It became a poem.
You're kind of poetically trying to inspire people to engage as well. That's a kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, and I thought I get to own all the questions now with my poem.
That's great. Well, that's great. Are you going to be like filming any of your poetry workshops or doing any broadcasts at some point?
Oh, I would love to do that. I kind of wish that I'd taken pictures when I was the writer in residence because I didn't want to intrude. I didn't want to like be like, oh, he's been in my class. It's picture time. Like, get ready.
Sure, yeah.
Now I don't have any record of it. I thought, oh, like it would have been so nice to have taking pictures.
That's my problem is that, and JT, you and I both do the same thing. We'll go do cool stuff and not think about taking pictures because we're in the moment. We're doing it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, it's to the point now where I start thinking it wouldn't be bad for us to hire someone to come around and take stuff. Not like I've joked around about needing a minstrel, which is, I think would be hilarious, but it's not going to be a thing. But I think someone to film or to take pictures might be useful.
Yeah. I'm going to do that and just say, if you don't want to be in it, don't be. Because I think for the people in the groups, it would mean something too.
Yeah.
Like on Facebook, a picture from 5 years ago came up. I'm like, oh, a picture of my workshop. I haven't had one of those.
Yeah. See, that's a thing. And I keep getting asked more and more as we're talking to booking agents and all these people, they keep asking us for pictures and we just don't have any. So we're going to have to
fix
this.
That's what I find too. When I go to job interviews, like, do you have a picture of any evidence at all that you really did this? I'm like, no.
No. See, the way I've gotten around this, Cynthia, is that the people I've done interviews with recently kind of know people that I've worked with. So I'm refusing. This is my new thing. I won't even bring in a resume. And I'll be like, if you want to find out about what I've done, call these people that you know really well. They'll tell you about me. And then call me back if you're still interested. And it's worked every time.
Actually, that's how I get jobs now. Even jobs I don't want. I'm just like, they're like, you're the best candidate. I'm like, no.
No. You know, I'm not really sure if this is for me. Talk to the other people and make me an offer. It works. I'll tell you at some point, Cynthia, maybe I'll even do it on the air. I'll tell you about the time that I totally used what essentially is neuro-linguistic programming and something on a boss to get a job way back in the day. And it's the most ridiculous story, but I'll share it on the air sometime.
Yeah. We need to hear that on the air. Anyway, thank you for having me on the show. And
of course.
Talk to you
soon. Sounds great. Thanks so much, Cynthia. And that was Cynthia Sharp calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. Not to be confused with British Brazil.
That's right.
British Ecuador.
Right.
Or British Peru.
Right.
Okay. Well now, said. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's now go to a place that's up in the state of New York. Let's now go to... Hey, Zach. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. Happy Friday. Happy World Poetry Open Mic Night. How are you guys?
We're doing great. Happy World Poetry Night to you as well. I got a question for you. Not that you're responsible for knowing this. I'm just interested. How long do you think New York is going to stay new?
I don't think we've ever been new. I mean, maybe when we first started, but I don't think we've ever been new.
you just kind of like went into when the moment New York was born, you were already like in middle age.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I was born in the 90s, so New York was before my time.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough, my friend. Fair enough. By the way, I've been going through your book, and I will have an answer for you here soon. I've just been going, you know, no judgment. Like, I'm not doing, you know, I'm not, like, critiquing it, but I've been going through and kind of getting a feeling on it. So I wanted to publicly tell you, yes, I have been reading your book.
Okay, awesome. I'm hoping that you're liking it so far.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, yeah, that's always something to worry about.
Well, I think I promise this, if I didn't like a book, you know what I would do? I would film myself not liking the book and start sending you just video clips. I just really don't like this poem. I would never do that, Zach. But no, I am enjoying it. I am enjoying it very much.
Oh, that's good. How are you guys doing this week?
JT's doing well. He's been in school, basically school and work this whole time. And I've been just working, basically, just nonstop. Just doesn't stop. You know how it goes.
Yeah, you were talking about that, taking that road to creative freedom. I was wondering if I could join that road with you.
Oh, hell yeah, you can. Everybody's invited to do this. We're going to figure out how to make this happen for everyone.
Oh. Gotta love the technology where we can all just be in your car on separate computer monitors and all voice chat, and we'll all just tour the country together.
Well, the thing I find really interesting is that it's so possible to make money doing creative stuff now, and especially if you're in a position where you're not spending a lot of money every month to live. That's actually, despite, you know, what society tells you, that's actually not a bad position to start. The less money you have to make every month is the best beginning, you know?
Mm-hmm. So everyone's going to tiny houses.
Very, very tiny houses. You walk in, you sit down. Hey, that doubles as a toilet. That there's, you can cook and go to the bathroom at the same time. It's a tiny house.
Well, that's a great start to the road of creative freedom.
That's true. You can take
a tiny house.
Yeah, that's
Got to think about how things can double as each other.
Oh, for sure. Well, and you know, the other thing too is now, you know, back in the day, you had to, you know, you had to go to Walden and stay. You know, Thoreau was at Walden. Now you just take Walden with you. You could take it to Texas Roadhouse. You feel like getting a steak. You know, it's... Anyway, okay. All right, Zach, I'm going to step back. I'm going to let you read, buddy, and then we'll talk after, okay?
All right, sounds good. This piece was called Emotion. It is my most recent piece, and here we go. Everyone fell in love with your beauty and grace, but no one saw the tears that streamed down your face, because people only see what they want to see. If that's true, you ask, does that mean you wanted to see me cry? Not at all, my dear. I just think emotion is beautiful, and when you're willing to show an emotion like crying, it proves there's more to you than meets the eye. End of piece.
JT, that poem could be about your cat. Do you
yes.
know that?
Yes.
But it is a meaningful piece, and I think it could be about a lot of people. I mean, that's a very human kind of situation that you're referring to there. You know, I can think of all kinds of children, all kinds of people. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everything just, you know, they always say, you know, people only see what they want to see, and you know, we're in a society that has so much, there's so much stigma that goes along with everything, and you know, people don't want to see emotion, and people are afraid of it.
Yep.
I think that if you're willing to show emotion, then you know, it proves there's more to you than just what you can see on the face value.
Absolutely. There's just, you know, we all have so much to us. People are so complicated, and so there's so much subtlety, and I don't know. I think it's endlessly fascinating, but I think a poem like that offers real comfort to it, and I applaud you for writing it, sir.
Yeah, I always say that when I was in school, when I was in high school, I always said, don't be afraid to cry, because crying shows that you care. And so,
that's true.
You know, don't be afraid to show that you care.
Now, what he's not telling you is Zach said that to the football team after beating up half of them. Don't be afraid to cry. Let people know you care. No, I'm kidding.
I was a big kid, so they wanted me to. The coach actually asked me to be a linebacker, but I'm like, no, I have zero pain tolerance. So
yeah, fair enough.
That's just not going to work.
Fair enough. That's completely understandable, my friend. Hey, thank you so much for the read. Thank you so much for the piece. We love it, and we'll hear from you in the return. Okay.
Absolutely. Hey, by the way, what did you think of my the short film?
Oh, you know what? I thought it was funny. I thought it was well done. If anybody else watched it on the in World Poetry or WPOM friends and everything, comment on it. It was actually really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, it was a little forward for my taste, but I mean, you know,
those kinds of movies, those kinds of shorts and things always kind of end up being a little bit that way, from my experience. You know, it's that calibration's kind of hard to figure out sometimes.
Right, but yeah, I directed the makeout scene, and then I wrote the watermelon joke.
Oh yeah,
and yeah, but all right, I will step aside and let the next poet, the final poet, step up, and I will talk to you in the return engagement.
We'll talk to you then, buddy. Thank you.
All right,
bye. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York. I like how he says the return engagement. It sounds like it's scary.
Yeah.
The return engagement. Everybody's like, yeah, we're just calling to read another poem. I love it, though. It makes me laugh. All right, let's go to a man, James Dilly Rothline, who lives in Pennsylvania. Hello, Jim.
Dilly Dilly.
Yep. Still not a thing, though.
Well, we're going to have to make an exception for the time being.
Well, you know, I suppose we can, if it'll make you feel better.
Well, we got reason to.
Well, yeah, we got reason for, but that doesn't stop us
So, all right, why don't you just read your poem then, and we'll come back. We'll talk about it when you're done.
All right. Well.
All right.
You said something that Eric's piece, or that Zach's piece, might have been about, could have been about a cat.
Yes.
My piece is about cats.
Fantastic.
And it is poem number 995. I'm getting there.
There.
So, deified membrances. Deified membrances, pyramid masters to pyramid slaves. No moments of separation possible or allowed. For cat calls and cat stares follow me everywhere I go, even to my throne room. End of poem.
Very, very, yeah. I think, does that resonate with you, JT, as a cat owner?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. See, I
have one that perches and just watches.
Yeah. And then you have one that just yells at you nonstop.
Right. Unless he's sitting with me.
We literally, Jim, I have to paint this picture quickly. We pull up in front of JT's house. The screen door is closed, but the door is open. And his cat is right there. The moment JT opens the door, like, it just does not stop. He's probably doing it right now upstairs. It's been amazing.
Up at the top of the stairs.
He's up at the top of the stairs calling you. So he loves you, JT. That's what this is really about.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get the same thing from Icy.
Oh, really?
I open the door to my apartment. She's there.
Yep.
And heaven forbid I go to the bathroom and close the door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, if I want some peace and quiet so I can read undisturbed, it does not happen, because a minute later, I see a paw underneath the door reach.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
If I let her in, she will come up to me on my throne, climb up, grab my shirt, and pull me down.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that would not be fun.
That makes me laugh. Hey, Jim, thank you so much, buddy. Yep. Really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you during the return?
Yes.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
All right.
All right, sir. We'll talk to you then.
Aye,
Lottie. Aye.
All right. Talk to you then. That was James calling from Pennsylvania. By the way, did you watch this new Dracula on Netflix?
Not yet.
I'm not going to spoil it, but what in the world
is
this?
Oh,
is
that way, huh?
It starts like one thing.
Uh-huh.
And then it suddenly kind of transforms into this other thing where you're like, and it did. It felt like it changed halfway through.
Ooh.
And, well, I mean, of course, the character is unveiled. And yeah. I mean, if anybody's read the Dracula book, or, you know, even seen Bram Stoker's Dracula, I think that's kind of a source for these things now.
Yeah.
But it just changes to a certain point where you're like, what in the world is happening? It's kind of a trip. It's okay. Kind of a trip. I won't even say if it's good or not. It's just a trip.
I'll have to give it a shot then.
Yeah. All right. So that puts us at the end of the first segment, which means it's time for the second segment. That means we need 5 more unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
Rock the mic. Rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic. Rock the mic. Hot. Hot, hot like this. I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock. When you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back. We've got a fantastic second segment lined up here for you. It's full. JT, did you see that?
Yes.
It is full, my friend.
It is full.
It is a full second segment. A whole segment. Completely full.
Well said.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your compliments. Makes me keep going. It's what keeps me alive when the time gets dark. Nighttime is a dark time for me, you know.
For a lot of people, it is.
Ah, yes, the world is a dark place.
From time to time.
Well, I don't know why it is that I keep slipping back into the Puss in Boots voice from Shrek.
It's because it's easy for you.
It's natural for me.
It's a natural progression.
It's a natural progression. Here's the thing. Yeah. And I'm going to quickly mention this. This is a fact. And I know you know about this about me, but I think other people don't. At one point, I started dating a woman. This was years ago. I didn't realize that she had been dating the guy who played Prince Charming at the Renaissance Festival.
Oh, that's right.
And yeah. It had ended kind of badly right before she and I started dating or something like that. And so I realized suddenly that I was persona non grata at the Renaissance Festival because Prince Charming was a little grumpy. And I realized now I'm this bald guy walking around in the Renaissance Festival, and Prince Charming, who was actually quite short, believe it or not, was very angry. And it wasn't my fault. Like, I didn't do anything. But at the same time, I realized I am really in a incredibly Shrek-like situation.
What was the counterpart? What's his counterpart? Prince Charming and what was it? Something Dashing.
Oh, yeah. Dashing and Charming.
Yeah. But
or Charming and Dashing. Yeah. Charming there was Prince, Dashing. Prince. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, there was two of them. But Sorry. Here's the thing. He ended up not being Prince Charming anymore. He became a knight. And he, no joke, went to knight school. I'm not kidding. It's true. That's what it's called. All right. Anyway, I'll be here all the week. All right. Now we're going to be heading to a new caller. We've got two new callers this segment. We're going to go to Dennis from Texas.
Dash.
Hey, oh, Dennis.
Yeah, dashing and charming. Yes.
How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. Who is this, Michael?
This is Michael, and we're on the air. Now, if you could do me a favor, the speakers you've been listening to the show on, can you turn them all the way down, and we'll just talk this way. Otherwise, it just comes through over and over and over again.
Okay.
But you sound great. You're now on the air, actually, and we're so happy that you joined us. Could you, and I always ask this question, how did you hear about our show?
Mama.
Oh, well, of course. Mama, thank you so much for letting people know. Well, that means a lot. We love Mama here. So so how about this? I'm going to give you the stage. When you're done with the piece, just say end piece. We'll come back on the line, and we'll talk briefly after that, okay?
Okay, terrific, Michael. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, the stage is yours.
Okay, this is a poem. It's called Like We Treat Mother Earth. You've taken the land. Now look what you've done. Poisoned the waters and blocked out the sun. The trees are all dying, turning brown. The lakes are all drying. See the scorched ground. Water in faucets in many small towns. It's unthinkable. It's undrinkable. What comes from the spout is oily and green, then turns to fire in a sci-fi dream. Carbon monoxide has filled up our lungs. People all over the world are unstrung. Birds continue to fall out of the sky. Before they hit ground, they've already died. Oceans are gagging. They're all overused. They cough up dolphins and whales all confused. Fish eating plastic. Their lives are cut short. Ocean keeps on growing, flooding the ports. Islands drowning. Soon they'll be underneath. Ice that is melting, a none to complete. Mercury gaining and toxins galore. You can see the scum washed up on the shore. Man killing man, and our globe is afire. Slaughter for land is man's one desire. My God's a good God. He's righteous and all. Your God is no God. I swear he shall fall. Stealing young children from schools where they learn, rape and then sell them, unlearn what they've learned. Children all over are starving to death. They suffer the worst. Their futures are dead. Young girls are tossed into slavery's lair. Young boys violated in pedophiles' care. Women are treated like they lack a soul. They're hanged and they're burned and dumped in a hole. They're scorned and then stoned and treated like foe. They love and give birth to all we know. They nurture and give for all that they're worth, yet we treat them like we treat Mother Earth. Finished. And
wow. Powerful, powerful piece.
Thank you so much.
Dennis, we appreciate you, man. We appreciate you calling and sharing with us, and we hope that you'll continue to do so. You're always welcome back.
Thank you so much, Michael. I appreciate, and thank you for helping me out today.
Hey, no problem. No problem at all. It can be a little strange, you know, which is why I made the video and stuff, but hey, you got it. We worked it all out, huh?
Yeah, absolutely, and thank you, Mama. You're the best.
All right. Well, Mama's coming up here at the end of the segment, too, so make sure you're listening out for her, okay?
I sure will. All right. Thanks, Mike. Again, Mike.
Thank you, sir. Bye, Dennis. Bye. Have a good one. And that was Dennis Kahn from Texas. Man, you know, I think we've never had another Dennis besides Dennis White from Michigan on the show.
I think you're right.
Wow.
Which means that my data is going to have to change. I'm going to have to take all my Dennis's from Michigan and make them Dennis W from Michigan.
That's kind of crazy. Well, but then again, the state, though.
No, because he's been around. He went to Florida and
called. That's true. Yeah.
So.
Either that or we just tell him not to go to Texas.
Okay, Dennis, you can't.
Yeah.
Dennis,
you are on a Texas ban. No,
unless you're meeting up with Dennis, then we can have a Dennis.
We can have a double Dennis. Dennis the Menace called.
I said Dennis and Dennis, oh, but that's okay.
I thought you said Dennis the Menace.
No. I know better than
I'm a little disappointed.
I'm so sorry.
All right. Now we're going to head to Missouri to visit with Sinister. Hey, Sinister. Welcome back, sir. Oh, Sinister.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, welcome, man. Welcome back.
All right. Thank you. That Twitch app, man, you can't do two at the same time. I have to click out of that, man.
Fair enough, man. It's pretty solid. It's written pretty well. Or, I mean, the code and everything's written pretty well. But there are little, you know, auxiliary things that kind of get wonky with it, I think.
Yeah, well, this week's better than last week. Last week, I was having a really hard time with the show, but this week, it's coming through real clear, and chat's coming through clear, so...
Awesome.
It's much better setup than the old one, so I like it.
Awesome. Happy to hear that. So I'm going to give you the stage. We'll talk after, okay?
All right. Enlightened moments, mid-debauchery. Victim of inbred social paradigms, I'm transplanted. Compelled to slitty slicker be in biblical purgatory. Discard interactions amongst narcissistic lowly swine. Far from repentance, I sit alone and awaiting divinity's eye. Steadfast, I argue stimulants, not poison, intellectual seed. Quaking effervescent skies here above, grazing sheep. Syndicated through liquor crystals of high depth lament, places stars freeze for only our dreams fall asunder. Solitary rotations vibrantly bestowed, my pages inverted, dealt prophetic insolent rays. Relinquish these hopes and desired stimulation of passing light. Amicable, though often found lackluster, as conjurings are light esteem, cracked arrogance raw and pseudo empowerment gaining a pedigree. Probable is deliverance, fumbling quizzically at repenting new rage, turning percolating geysers to bruise the oscillating chromatic hues, flawlessly set upon overgrown passages and hopes for suffrage, becomes trodden fallacy amongst the stumbles forgotten at foot, convergence cracking. Reprieve comes closeted, a world unsealed behind a door, exposes these encircled echoes projected in whimsical notes. Breaking ion laughs and shatters the deep once hidden beneath, toppling adamantium never before, enriching us in profound truth. Longing for intrinsic calibrations to wake hibernated senses whole, eliciting rendezvous through quieted screams atop forsaken relations. Will thirst find quenching in flooded halls these barren walkways stroll, triumphant and cleansing sacred reliquaries long since shone bright. Radically invasive. Wattage burns high fidelity and slow reasoning is bringing to a head. Addresses compilations of sanity's fast track to vagrant depths. once scripted in imagery to take back cinematic delusions kept, now finds one crevices distracted by the weak ones selling out. Epiphanies are pastel burns inside an autumn's eve, while love's crying entices the culmination, whistled by basement boilers igniting. Fade shall the ease brought deliberately in Grace's calligraphy paste, purchased in distorted one-night tantrums, signature trademark bright jaded. Swirling striations blossomed in flight, embellishing the outer perimeter heights. Accounts at the distance flown by jagged teeth, carving horizontal highways, adventure will testifies how creatively moments of repugnance deviates lives, attempting to sculpt midibuckery like a sense of insight and peace.
And Sinister bringing the fire, man. Way to go.
Hey, now, for the returning engagement, I'd like to read a piece that's a little longer. So maybe you guys could push me to the back, because I got like an 8-minute piece I'd love to dust the cobwebs off of.
During the return?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we could probably work that. I mean, it's return is, if it's stretched, I mean, 8, you know, especially if we have the warning ahead of time and if everyone's okay with it. And if you push it towards the back, that makes more sense. So if we're going to do it,
yeah,
that's a good way to do it. Yeah, it's okay. So we'll let's plan on that then for the return, okay?
Right on, fellas, right on.
All right, man. Thanks so much for everything. We'll talk to you then.
All right.
All right. And that was Sinister calling from Missouri. All right. I'm excited about this next caller, too. I haven't heard from her in a while.
Yeah, true.
All right. Let's go to Mary in Arizona. Good evening, Mary.
Good evening.
Listen to that voice. We've missed having you on the show. How's everything going?
That was my Dracula imitation. I'm really good. How are you all?
We're doing very, very well.
See, I knew it would come. Sesame Street for the adults.
I've learned now when someone asks me if I want something, I do the Dracula answer. I don't drink iced tea.
Oh, boy.
I only drink.
When you realize that Dracula at the beginning, Dracula at the beginning of those movies speaks primarily in puns. Or, you know,
isn't that lovely? Oh,
and I think it's, yeah. I think a monster that speaks in puns is fantastic. anyway, sorry, that's enough of that. So, Mary, it's wonderful to hear your voice.
With you lovely people. I'm really happy to be included in. I miss you guys. I miss you every week that I don't join in, and here I am this week. Just a scribble and a tune for the return.
Wonderful.
A little scribble. I don't do a long scribble too much, but I am writing about my father. Maybe there's going to be a nice scribble about that coming up. This is called, I didn't name it. Anyway. Past the gates of selfishness, I found my awaited salvation. Past the times of errant strife, I found my drinking fountain. The fluids there replenished my blood, and once sated, I stood again. The time had passed and I had changed. The fields had grown and some were gone, but the odors there remain as sweet. The acts continue and the band plays on, but differently. My breath, it fogs the mirrors, but my heart, it carries its memories. I'm placid in my thoughts now and can see the seasons in the scenery. There are souls that bound for places like these incandescent lights. End poem.
Mary, we missed hearing your soulful words in your pieces, and
I found that I have a hard time writing anything else.
Yeah,
I try to be witty or really historical or put it all in a perfect cadence or haiku. I try some of that.
Sure.
Really, I do better freeform.
I think that you're doing something that's natural, and we can tell.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the right.
And maybe
move.
It's raw, maybe kind of a. Juvenile, but I think it's soulful, so I share it. And I thank you for being such an
a gracious, beautiful people.
We're very happy to play host to you, anything you can put out into the world. And
look at the sweetness in the air, just getting so thick in here. So lovely. All right. Well, I'm gonna listen to talent and come to the retreat.
All right. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you during the return.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye. And that was Mary Conch from Arizona. All right.
It's been a while, but it's always great to have her back.
Oh, always. Always. We're always happy to have her back. Okay. We ready? We have another new caller. This is Egon Conch from British Columbia. Hello, Egon. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Wonderful. Well, you're now on the air, and welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. How did you hear about our show?
Well, you had the lady on earlier, Cynthia, I attended several of her workshops.
Perfect.
Writing flash fiction, poetry, and a couple of other things. Delightful lady.
Oh, we agree. We agree. We've had her on the we've of course had her on the show for years, but she actually came out here to Colorado for one of our events, and it's just been a great kind of friendship with her for a long time. So
terrific. Well, she's the one that recommended that I send you the items that you published in your anthology.
Yes,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, we absolutely appreciate the contribution. Now, before you read, can I ask you to do something? The background speaker that you're listening on, could you turn that all the way off? We're still getting an echo through, and I don't want it to interfere with your poem.
Sure. Check.
No problem at all. I think every time we call in, we have to work through that, and it's
yeah. No, that's fine.
All right.
Well, this is the first time I'm on, so I don't know the protocol.
You are doing great. Well, actually, I think no one who's called in for the first time knows the protocol. I think we've had to say this to everybody who called in, which is great. That's fine.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the stage, and then when you're done, just say end poem. We'll come on and we'll talk. Okay.
All right. This was something that was actually inspired by Cynthia, and I'll tell you about it afterwards. It's called Open and Free in Rhyming Verse. While Picasso painted pictures with paints, I prefer to paint my pictures with words. Finding the right word to express my thoughts can, however, be arduous at times. Free verse and open verse are some formats, and iambic pentameter and rhymes may add lyrical sounds to the scribbles. Or perhaps not. For example, where is it written that a verse must rhyme, except perhaps in my own mind, and that it must conform to a certain number of lines with strict formatting or require a set number of syllables, allow no caps or commas or periods or punctuation of any kind? Nay, it is not written thus. So leave it up to the reader's imagination to fill in the missing details. I might write in rhyming couplets like, so with all that being said, I also have a dread that unrhymed words I must axe, cause I love rhyming syntax. Or maybe choose to rhyme alternate lines. But with all that being said, I love the sound of syntax, but I also have a dread that unrhymed lines I must axe. End of poem.
Really enjoyed the read, Egon, and the write as well. Solid piece.
Well, it's on its way to you, so if you want to use it, be my guest.
Fantastic, sir. I really appreciate it. And I am... So you sent me some pieces just to give people context, and more written for songs. And so they're things I actually have been looking at. And, you know, I'm kind of one of those people who takes a while. I see something, and I just kind of let it sit with me and let it kind of work, you know, a little bit. So that's what I've been doing with those pieces. But I really appreciate you doing that.
It needs to ferment for a while.
Yeah, you know what? Unfortunately, I am that kind of guy. I'm that kind of creative guy. And so I guess I'm just going to have to go with it. I'm stuck with it.
Well, when I met Cynthia, somehow she kicked the creative muse in the butt, and I've been scribbling a whole bunch of things since last October or thereabouts, and this happened to be one of them. As a matter of fact, this was I did this in one of her classes.
Oh, fantastic. Cynthia, yeah, so. See, the work's paying off. I love that. I love that. And thank you so much for sharing that as well. That's meaningful for her here, I'm sure.
You're welcome. And thanks for having me on.
You got it. We'll talk during the return engagement. So I think we may be doing one other segment after this one. We've got to just see how that goes. But we will have a thing called the return engagement where you can call in and share another piece if you'd like.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Take care, Michael. Bye-bye.
You too. And that was Egon calling from British Columbia, another first-time caller on the show. Yeah. Thank you, everyone who's been listening, who's inviting new people to the show. That's exactly how we grow the right way, as opposed to just plastering advertisements and things. The right way is when people are invited. That's I've noticed, JT. If I'm sure you probably have too. That's actually where we get our best members of the community and callers, yes, is when someone's invited and then they start participating.
Absolutely.
All right, so speaking of someone who's an invaluable member of this community, someone we love very much, let's go to Cleveland, Ohio, to talk to Mama Oladeji. Hello, Mama.
All right, so speaking of...
Hello.
Good evening.
Wow. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Oh, good. I was waiting for you to say, Mama, we're having that problem again.
I know, right? I know. I just expect it's going to happen, and when it doesn't, I'm just very pleasantly surprised.
Yes. Well, I have a short piece, or I can do two short pieces. Which one do you want for me to do?
Well, let's just do the one, unless it's like a micro poem, unless it's like four lines or something. Let's just do the one, yeah.
All right. I'm going to do this one called Trapped in Your Illusion. Action speaks loudest. Truth needs no explanation to the like-minded. And what's understood by two needs no debate. Flexing is not convincing unless your bluff is believable by more than yourself. If you drink the Kool-Aid alone, you'll be the only drunk in the room. In peace.
Oh, I think there's a lot of people who need to hear about this drinking the Kool-Aid thing right now. What do you think?
Just a few.
Oh, my goodness. Mama, everybody's crazy.
My favorite part.
Yeah.
Well, no, my favorite part is when you're flexing and you're not convincing nobody else that, it's just a bluff and nobody believes you with your little flexing and stuff. So, the funniest part. Yeah. If you can't convince everybody else, there's no sense in you running around here doing all that flexing because nobody's even believing you. It's so funny. I wrote that today.
Oh, I know.
Because I was having a great time listening to the impeachment hearing. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, look at them. They just saying all this stuff. Nobody's believing nothing.
Well, the thing is everybody is so entrenched in their own world that they're refusing to believe each other. And I suddenly start going, it's interesting. I even did a podcast about this the other day saying, truth doesn't apparently matter.
not anymore.
Yeah, it's just your group of people,
I wrote that today, and then I wrote another one saying that about ignorance. It's just stupid. It's just the stuff that's going on. Ignorance, the word ignore.
Yeah.
Is in the word ignorance.
Absolutely.
For a reason. It means to ignore the truth.
Yep. Yep.
That's where the word ignorant.
You're totally right. You're totally right. And
we'll
just have to see. I know how it's gonna turn out, but we won't get into it. I think
Thank you so much for giving such a great welcome to Dennis Ferrato.
Oh, of course.
And,
happy to.
I guess you see why I just fell in love with them. And not only that's not the only reason. The second reason is I don't believe in anything happens by mistake.
Yeah.
And once we started really talking and I started bonding with him through his poetry, I'm going to find out we're born on the same day.
Oh, no kidding. How cool is that?
That was the glue that bonded everything. It's like, I can tell by his work. I mean, I know Aries, the way we think. And you know how I'm always talking about the ecosystem, and you heard that poem he just did on that. I mean, you know it was right up my alley.
Yeah.
I could just drive my car up that alley and just park here.
I get it. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Sure.
And then the fantastic Newport that came on right before I did, too. I really enjoyed his work, too.
Yeah, Egon's great. He's Egon. Yeah.
Okay, well, I posted Dennis John Ferrado. I know what we're going to call him because we got two Dennises. And so
we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Dennis number two. They gave him a number at first. I hope he's able to get a name. And
well, I don't know if we should do the number. You could be like, let's call Dennis the Texan. Like, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
he already stated he's going to try and adjust his name. So
okay. I can just see him asking his wife, baby, what's my number?
I think I'd, for some reason, I'm not married, but I'd be afraid to ask that.
Say my number. All right.
Hey, Mama, we love you. We appreciate you. And hopefully we'll hear from you in the return.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Talk to you then. Bye. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, rounding out our second set for the evening. All right. Jetty.
Yes, sir.
Are we ready to... should we try a third segment and see if there's anybody else who wants to call in? And then if there's not, we'll interrupt.
Yeah, interrupt and go through. Yeah, that's not
sounds good. So we always guarantee two segments, but since we've had two full segments, we're not sure if there's anybody out there who wants to call in for the first time. So what we're going to do is we're just going to leave it open for a unique caller or two to kind of call in. If no one's coming in by the time we've hit a song or so, we'll probably pop back in and announce the return engagement. But it's not the return engagement yet. So we need five more unique callers, or as many as we get. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
And now, your deep thought.
I have to say, when the annals of history look back at this time, they'll realize that we've been making one large mistake. The plural of moose is not moose. It's meese. You might think I'm wrong, but you're on the wrong side of history.
And that was your deep thought.
Sometimes I surprise myself with how much of a genius I am. But then I realize I'm not really a genius. I'm just surprising myself. I'm like a baby who's just been playing peekaboo with. And I'm like, where'd everybody go? That's really what it's like. All right. Hey.
No object permanence, huh?
No object permanence. Only it's more like idea permanence. I just came up with something brand new. Actually, no, the Beatles did that in 1960. Damn it. All right. So now we did have a caller, but then we lost him. So, Don from California, we're giving you a moment. Call us back. We're waiting. And we're just going to sit here for a moment and try to get him to call back in. If he doesn't, then we'll announce the return.
Yeah, that's easy enough.
Yeah. So let's just give it a moment. We're going to stall for a moment. JT, yeah. I'm not going to ask you to stall. Don't worry. It's okay.
Well,
it's okay. What is, if you had $100 million, what would you do with it?
Well, let me begin my list with, let's see, pay off my debt.
Okay.
All debt.
Okay.
And then give my mother some.
Okay.
Give my father-in-law some.
Okay.
Then, obviously, I'm going to lock it all away into a living trust so that I'm paid from it.
Okay.
Okay, and it's still earning interest.
Fair enough. Good
idea. Then with that money, I'm going to just kind of have my own salary for the remainder of my life.
And what would you do with that, with the remainder of your life when you had your own salary? This isn't a trick question. I'm just asking.
No, I'd sit and just create. I think that, well, not just sit, but, you know.
You might stand and create occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally, you know, maybe every other Tuesday. but no, that's what I would do. I'd go into creative projects, not invest into those things or, you know, get swindled out of my money. But definitely, you know, sit there and work on some things and call it good.
Well, good news, my friend.
Yeah?
We don't need to win the lotto for that.
Oh.
We're going to figure this out.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't what I was leading you to. I wasn't purposely trying to get you to go there. But the reality is we can figure this out, man. We can figure this out. All right. Well, since we haven't got a call from Don, it's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe something came up. Maybe he'll have a chance during the return segment. So now we are announcing the return engagement. The number 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Anybody who wants to call back in and share a piece, you can. Anybody who wants to call in for the first time, go ahead. And the Skype ID is World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here with the return engagement. We got seven awesome poets.
Eight? Oh,
it's blocked off by the microphone here.
Oh,
on
I'm sorry.
Screen. I couldn't see it. Okay.
I will make sure
we
have scroll.
Eight. There we go. Well, I mean, now that I know, it's not a problem. It's just I just didn't see it. All right. So let's just get straight into it. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan to lead us off. My gosh, JT, what's going on, my friend?
So excited. Sorry.
I've never seen you do that before. All right. Here we go.
There we go.
Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be back.
All right, perfect. Well, you're leading us off, so it's up to you, and I know you're up for this job, to set the tone for the return engagement. So what do you have for us?
All right. Well, in that case, I better be on my best. I'm leading off with a poem by the poet of the month, Khalil Gibran, and the title is A Tear and a Smile. I would not exchange the sorrows of my heart for the joys of the multitude. And I would not have the tears that sadness makes to flow from my every part turn into laughter. I would that my life remain a tear and a smile. A tear to purify my heart and give me understanding of life's secrets and hidden things. A smile to draw me nigh to the sons of my kind and to be a symbol of my glorification of the gods. A tear to unite me with those of broken heart. A smile to be a sign of my joy in existence. I would rather that I died in yearning and longing than that I live weary and despairing. I want the hunger for love and beauty to be in the depths of my spirit, for I have seen those who are satisfied, the most wretched of people. I have heard the sighs of those yearning and longing, and it is sweeter than the sweetest melody. With evenings coming, the flower folds her petals and sleeps, embracing her longing. At morning's approach, she opens her lips to meet the sun's kiss. The life of a flower is longing and fulfillment, a tear and a smile. The waters of the sea become vapor and rise and come together and are a cloud. And the cloud floats above the hills and valleys until it meets the gentle breeze, then falls weeping to the fields and joins with brooks and rivers and returns to the sea, its home. The life of clouds is a parting and a meeting, a tear and a smile. And so does the spirit become separated from the great spirit to move in the world of matter. and pass as a cloud over the mountains of sorrow and the plains of joy to meet the breeze of death and return whence it came to the ocean of love and beauty to God. End of poem. A poem by Galil Gibran.
All right. Once again, a beautiful choice and a beautiful read, sir. Thank you.
Oh, he has such wonderful poetry. It's easy to get lost in it. It's really, really deep stuff, and I really enjoy the spirituality of his poems. But yet he's left room for humanity too. So
yes.
It's a wonderful mix that he presents to us.
That's exactly how I've kind of approached it too. I love the humanity and the divinity in it, and I think it was one of the things with Gibran where I first kind of realized the concept. You know, and I read this early on, you know, 16, 17 years old, really realized that the humanity with all its faults and the divinity is really so closely tied, just in such sometimes in obvious ways.
Yes, and the Prophet was one of my first poetry books that I ever got.
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, I don't think I was ready for it. I mean, I read some of the stuff, and oh, that's nice. But it has so much deeper meaning to me now, and I really appreciate it more with my years of experience in life. I can relate to what he's written, so it's a even a greater blessing to me to reread it now.
Well, that's special. All right. Hey, Dennis, thanks so much as always. And we're getting close. We have one more week in January.
Wow. Yeah.
Then two weeks from now, we'll be starting the Poet of the Month stuff again. So
right. I'll support that if I can.
Well, I know there's as nice and as genteel as everything is. I know there's fierce competition happening beneath. So,
all right. Well, I hope I set the bar high enough for the return engagement. I'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. But I have every confidence in the poets that are to come behind me. So I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic. I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis leading off the return engagement segment here in the number one spot. Now we are going to be traveling to a little place I like to call Arizona.
just like and, to call that spot.
And let's visit Mary once again. Hello, Mary.
It's a good thing you want to call it that, because that's its name.
Hey, it's just a coincidence that I want to call it that. You know, it's not necessarily a foregone conclusion that I want to call something what it's actually called.
Land of the Heat.
Yes.
That's what I do. I dreamt about it when I was a child, and we'd have it on TV in the wintertime in Wisconsin, and they'd be telling the temperatures, and my dad would be going, just look at that. I'd be going, oh, my. And here I am.
Well, you know what? It was the beginning. Yeah, I can imagine. There's times where it's snowy. I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? Arizona's calling.
Arizona's been good to me. I fell in love here after 27 years of not being in love.
Love hearing that.
And I'm still madly in love with this nice man that is changed my life in a way that I didn't know was necessary. But after I've done it, boy, do I feel that it's been a good thing to just take life a little easier and a little less seriously. And a lot of the bad times are gone now and behind me. And I really am enjoying my life.
That is fantastic.
So that's nice to share with you. I'm going to share this song because I'm doing all these oldies now, and Glenn is playing the guitar in the background. It's a song from 1932 called April in Paris. Uh,
who did it? E.H. Harburg, and the lyricist was E.H. Harburg. I want to give him the credit. This is the song.
Beautifully done. Now, who's playing?
Does it sound like you were on elevators?
Who's playing? Who's playing guitar back there? What's going on? I thought that was great.
It's a good life. Sometimes I have to say, and I'm happy to say it.
Beautifully done.
After enough adversity, we appreciate the good times, and
yes.
I guess we have to have adversity to appreciate the good times. And I'll leave it at that.
I think I agree with you. Mary, we love you. Thanks so much, and thank you so much for your words and your voice and all of it.
Right, that's it, Michael, and all of you. And I'll join again if I can. It was fun.
Sounds great.
So I hear all these. Uh-huh.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. And that was Mary calling from Arizona. Beautifully done. See, I love this stuff. That's great. All right. Are we ready to go to the next caller, you think? In a scary place. A scary place known as Pennsylvania. Hello. How? Yeah, I know. It's scary to me, too. You know, the thing I was thinking about, Jim, earlier that would really change most horror movies is if the monster or the villain was just as surprised by their powers as everybody else and was verbal about it. It's like something would happen. They go, "What is that?" And then the monster looks at them and goes, "I know, right?" Like that would just change so many.
It's like Shazam.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, exactly. You're right.
It's like, okay, in Star Wars, it's like the Emperor, he starts to use like, "What the?" It's like,
I didn't even mean to do that.
I didn't know.
Whoa, and how do you shut this off? Yeah.
And then he realized, unlimited power! Just like.
And then, you know, at one point, you would have to try your tongue on that. You'd be like, ah, ouch. You know, like you'd have to see how hot that really feels. Because you think the Emperor's got to, at some point, sit there and go, what does this actually feel like? One night he's laying there in the Emperor's chamber. He's like, if I just aim this at my foot, I can just figure out. Still not as bad as gout. Okay. All right. Anyway, Jim, I'm going to stop this now. I'm going to give you the stage. Hopefully it wasn't too serious, and we'll talk after.
All right. I'm going to do poem 997.
All right.
That's my most recent. So it's untitled. The morning's as midnight, evening's under moonless skies. A heart trapped in Arctic winter, waiting in the frozen air of longing for spring to finally come in another woman's sunshine smile. End of poem.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. And that it's really a vivid way that you, the vivid play with the words there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, I wrote that early this morning. It's like, oh, can't sleep. Gotta write it.
Yeah.
Write it.
It's one of those things where it's like, you might as well, when it comes up and you're laying there and you're not going to be able to sleep, you're like, ugh, this thing will not leave me alone. I might as well put this down.
Well, it was like another poem I described as cat calls or babies crying.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless you answer it, it's just not going to let you go.
What you know, I have this kind of theory. I think songs kind of do this, and I feel like poems do as well. It's almost like in the middle of the night, especially right around like 4 a.m, they come tapping on your window. And, you know, some of them will tap once, and if you're not awake, they'll just move on. But other ones will just persistently knock until you answer the damn thing.
Or get into your bedroom, grab you by the lapels, or why won't you finish me?
Well, and you know what? Now that I've talked about that, it makes Poe's The Raven have an entirely different thing, an entirely different meaning. Anyway.
Well, they say, leave me alone. Say, no, whap, 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 whap. Oh, they stopped hitting me in the face.
It's in some cases, it is like the Three Stooges just walked into your room. That's for sure. All right. Hey, thank you so much, Jim. We appreciate you, man. And we'll talk to you next time.
Yes. 2 weeks from now.
2 weeks from now. Okay. We will see you on the what? The 7th. That's right.
The 7th.
All right. We'll see you then.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good evening. And that was Jim in Pennsylvania. You know, if we could get a lightning or a thunder crack, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wouldn't that be good?
Okay.
I'll see what
I can do to work on that one.
And I would start pronouncing every state, Michigan. And it would start sounding like coast to coast.
Oh, so many routes. Sorry.
You know, everything's everything.
It is.
By the way, of all weird catchphrases, you know, that people have, I've still never been able to wrap my head around this one. Love is love. That's a bizarre catchphrase, man. Why would someone do that? And why does that resonate with people? That's like me saying cheese is cheese.
Sometimes you just gotta ham it up.
Sometimes you feel like a camel, you know? I just don't get the love is love thing. I'm sorry.
Either. Don't worry.
Okay.
I get what you're saying. But.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go to Michigan. Let's talk to George. Hey, George. How you doing?
Hey. Welcome I'm back.
All right. Now yes. do you have some Kerouac with you?
No, Charles Bukowski.
Oh, Bukowski. I'm sorry. I mixed up my head. I love Bukowski.
Yeah, well, it's easy. They're both sort of straight off the street
right.
stuff. Yeah. I was going to tell you, though, that in Michigan, we have this a rule for all Michigan poets, and that is that you have to use this line in all of your poems about winter.
Okay.
The line is, gray sticks against a gray sky.
Ah.
If you don't, because we don't have sunlight in Michigan.
All right. Well, fair enough. That's good.
So
that person's from Michigan.
it's been made illegal, and anyway.
It's claiming its own executive privilege. Okay, I guess.
Yes, executive privilege. Yeah, we have one of them too here, but we finally get it for covering. This Charles Bukowski, just in case somebody I'm not going to give the whole bio thing, but he was Los Angeles. Well, he was originally born in Europe, but he grew up as a kid in Los Angeles. And he had sort of a rough life, and his poetry is all sort of raw edged, and it's really good stuff. this one, and by the way, it's a little bit sinister or cynical, whichever word you choose. This one is starts off, I think it's called Goldfish. I actually didn't write down the title, but it goes like this. We had goldfish, and they circled around and around in the bowl on the table near the heavy drapes, covering the picture window, and my mother, always smiling, wanting us all to be happy, told me, "Be happy, Henry." And she was right. It's better to be happy if you can. But my father continued to beat her and me several times a week while raging inside his 6'2" frame because he couldn't understand what was attacking him from within. My mother, poor fish, wanting to be happy, beaten 2 or 3 times a week, telling me to be happy. "Henry, smile. Why don't you ever smile?" And then she would smile and show me how, and it was the saddest smile I ever saw. One day the goldfish died, all 5 of them. They floated on the water on their sides, their eyes still open. And when my father got home, he threw them to the cat there on the kitchen floor, and we watched as my mother smiled into peace.
Man, well, great choice, first of all. And Bukowski is, I don't know, I remember these times where I was like working jobs that I felt just so completely disconnected from, and was in just, I think I was going through a divorce at the time, and it was just a really horrible time. And for some reason, Bukowski resonated so much with me, especially the honesty in his words, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, he's very, if there's bitterness, sometimes there's light, you know?
Yeah.
But, he wasn't, you know, he was more grim than Harrison or Hemingway, you know, by far.
Yeah.
But yet he had some of that. He didn't play around. He just said things. He just wrote things. I mean, you know.
Right.
You don't have a whole lot of fancy little, Latin terminology and stuff in Bukowski. It's all there.
But you know, he had something. It's kind of like watching. It's kind of like watching a really great athlete play using only the basics. It's just absolutely phenomenal, and you know that they have this just seething years of experience that they can do all these other complex things, but yet the basics are where they're focusing, and that's what I feel with him.
That's a great way to put it. When you open a book of Bukowski stuff, you get ready to hold on, but put your seatbelt on.
Yeah.
But still, I hope he's, I am sure he will survive because he's been dead now for what, 20, 25 years, something like that. But I think he'll endure along with a lot of other great poets, but he certainly has a place. And I will get out of the way because I see there's 3 or 4 more people.
Well, hey, thank you so much, George. We appreciate you. And, you know, just for what it's worth with Bukowski, Roll the Dice is probably the one I'm living by the most right now, and I absolutely love the piece.
Oh, okay. I'll look back through that one then.
It's fantastic. Anybody who hasn't read Roll the Dice, it is really worth it.
I read it, but it's been a while.
All right.
So I'll jump into it tonight or tomorrow.
All right. Well, hey, appreciate you, George. Thanks so much for everything. And I guess we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks. This is a great night. This is a great night for WPLM. I was really happy to be here.
You know, it is a pretty nice night, isn't it? Yeah, I'm feeling it. Yep. I think JT and I both are,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, you got two new people, and you got some returns from people we haven't heard from just lately, and wonderful. Just wonderful.
That's great. All right, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Yes.
All right. Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan, the number 4 spot here in our octillion, but that's inappropriate. Our octopi of a return engagement. All right.
Okay.
I'm glad, JT, that you are completely as aware as how stupid that was as I was right when I said it. I'm like, that is so dumb. All right, let's go now. I just admitted to having a filter. Oh, no. It's very faulty. It's about as good of a filter as like the top of a salt shaker is, you know? All right, let's go to Zach in upstate New York, because downstate New York would just be ridiculous. Hey, Zach, how's it going, sir?
Hey, I'm back, and I'm calling from the future.
Are you? Oh,
yes, he is.
So how is the future?
Well, it's only 5 minutes into it, but it's pretty good. You know, it's 12:05 a.m. here.
Yeah, we figured as much. Well, good. Well, at least we know we're going to live another night. That's exciting. So, what do you have for us this time?
This time, it's called Pressure, because you know I think that's something we can all relate to.
Yes.
Pressure in life, and so here we go. Pressure in my head, pressure in my heart. All this pressure from society, it's tearing me apart. They tried to tell me what to want. They tried to tell me who to be. I'm starting to feel like freedom's just a fallacy. If I can't be by your side, with a thought to call my own, maybe it's time for me to leave. Maybe I'm better off alone. I thought I'd miss your kiss. I thought I'd miss your smile. And I won't lie, they cross my mind every once in a while. But then I remember who I am. I remember who I want to be. And I remember how good it feels when the pressure's off of me. End of peace.
Just going right to the emotional core of it, as you always do. I think it's great. Really well done.
Thanks. Yeah. My mom didn't like. I've been starting to share it with my poems with my mom, and she didn't understand what it was about. And it's like, all you know, that you know, you feel like when you're with someone, you feel like you have to, you know, you have to be with them. Or you don't feel like your thoughts are your own anymore. You have to share your thoughts with someone, and
sure.
You don't. It feels like you don't have any personal freedom. That you don't have any choices that you're making by yourself. You're making choices based on what's best for other people.
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And and that's something that. Funny because I've never had a chance to be in a relationship yet, but people have always told me don't bother with relationships because they're overrated, and I'm like, I just get so upset. Like, how can you tell me that it feels better to be alone than to be with someone?
I think it's grass is always greener, right? Yeah. On either side. You know, at least from my experience, relationships take a hell of a lot of work. Being alone can be pretty selfish. It doesn't require as much work. But who knows? You know, I think it's, I think the thing I've learned about relationships is it'll happen if it's supposed to happen, you know, and forcing it does nothing.
Yeah, I know. It's just frustrating because I mean, I'm gonna be 29 this year. I'm gonna be 29, and I haven't even kissed a girl. I haven't even gone to a dance, and you know, I've just missed out on so much life. And you know, it just sucks being alone. But
I know everyone says that it'll happen, but, you know, but for the first time, you know, you guys have inspired me to, you know, the writing has inspired me to, you know, be focus on writing, and I'm not focusing on how hurt I am, and for the first time in my life, I'm okay with being alone, but because I feel like I have a family with you guys, and, you know, but I still want a relationship.
Of course, yeah. Well, I mean, I think, you know, also, the other side of it that I always try to remind myself of is when I start feeling really hurt or you know, kind of sad, one of the things I remind myself is this phrase I heard. Someone was talking about people in a psychological institution as being pickled in themselves, and that they're just marinating in their own psychological world all day long without pushing things out into the world. And I've noticed that when I'm consistently creating things and putting things out, I don't start to fall into that depressive state. So I think one of the best things you can do is start focusing and putting things out into the world, which you've done through the show and with your book and everything. So it's a great movement for you to be doing this writing and putting things into the world. And I think you're starting to notice, and if you haven't yet, you will soon, all kinds of changes happening internally and emotionally and then eventually externally.
Oh, yeah. I've noticed that my writing is truly helping people, and you know, that definitely keeps me going, because you know, I just want to help, and
yeah,
you know, it feels good to be able to help with writing, with words.
Hey, I agree, and I think you're doing a great job of it. We really appreciate you, sir, and yes, you do have a family here, so we'll continue support, and I know it's going to end up just great for you.
All right, man. I will hopefully talk to you later in the week about the book. And,
sounds good. We'll do it.
Know, all right. Sounds good.
All right. Bye. Talk to you soon. Bye. Yeah. And that was Zach calling from upstate New York. All right. Now, should we try to have her call back in?
Just popped it into the chat room.
Fantastic. I've been using the word phantasgrate a bit this week.
Phantasgrate.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Hello, Cynthia. Welcome back.
Thank you. And what a great show this is tonight.
Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun. I'm so just happy with the new callers we've had and all the great work brought by everyone. You know, so this has just been really enjoyable.
It made my night that Egon made it in. He's been trying to get in, but it's tough with the technology.
Sure.
And I'm not very good at explaining technology.
So. Well, you know, he got it. There was something that he had a question about, and he reached out to me, and we were able to get it handled. And here he is. So it's been great.
That made my night.
Awesome.
So I wasn't sure what to do for the return engagement. I was deciding, like, should I finish up my poem really quickly? But I grabbed a bunch of books off my shelf before the show started, and it turns out that Gibran is the poet of the month. So I feel like, you know, I grabbed his book, and he's the poet of the month, so I really should read my favorite poem from it.
Fair enough.
So this is from The Prophet. It's been my favorite poem, one of my favorite poems for about 30 years. So this is it. A woman who held a babe against her bosom said, "Speak to us of children." And he said, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts. For they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls. For their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit, not even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward, nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children, as living arrows, are sent forth.
The archer sees the mark upon the path of the infinite, and bends you with his might, that his arrows may go swift and far. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness, for even as he loves the arrow that flies, so he loves also the bow that is stable. End poem by the Poet of the Month.
See, first of all, a great read, and I love that piece as well. The thing I find so interesting about this Poet of the Month is it almost every poet or who's been doing it for a while kind of has a story around Gibran's work because he's such a well-known poet. But it's one of those ones that, you know, I heard, you know, you hear a lot about Shakespeare, you hear a lot about some of these others, but for some reason for me, Gibran never showed up until I asked other people about it. I didn't know other people knew who he was. I had no idea how famous he was until I brought it up, you know?
I had no idea either. I was, when I was 20, I was working in a secondhand bookstore on the fourth floor, which like were all the, like all the dusty old books. So that's where you go when you first start.
And that no sounds one amazing, actually. It. Yeah.
But it was like, I found this old secondhand book and I just started reading. I had no idea he was famous. And the great thing about being banished to the third floor is no one knows you're secretly reading while you're supposed to be working.
Which is great. Yes.
Yeah. But for teachers, I fell in love with that poem because I feel like I'm at the age now where I'm the beau. You know, like you switch over. First, you're the child and you're supposed to be loved and protected and right. trusted to do what you're supposed to do in the world. And now as teachers, we're the people, we're the beau. We're the people sending people forth into a world we won't see.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Yeah. I've been thinking about that a lot myself. That. Well, and it just changes so much, you know, and it's I think one thing as a teacher that I absolutely love seeing is when you're able to show something that is remarkable to someone else and you get to see it connect with them. You see them get it. And that is one of the great things, I think.
And the most amazing things. And thank you so much for the Poet of the Month feature and this show. You know, you're bringing us all these great writers that we get to celebrate. So thank you so much.
Oh, of course. We're happy to do it. And we're going to keep on doing it. So thank you as always, Cynthia. And thanks for bringing Egon to us. And we'll talk to you next time, hopefully.
Hey, take care.
All right. You as well. And that is Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia. In the number 6 spot. Okay. Now we're going to go to a very sexy place, Cleveland, Ohio. All right, Mama.
Oh.
Mama, just like you predicted the first time through, we're going to have you call us back. I'm so sorry. We can't hear you right now. We're having that issue again. That also means that Sinister at the end is probably going to have that issue as well.
That.
Here she is. She's right on top of it. Let's just take her live. Right. Hello, Mama. Welcome back.
Okay.
You're so on top of it. That's great.
Extra something.
Good point.
I want to say something to Zach. Zach, you have to make your own promotion for what you need. You have to start a group, find like-minded people that are like you. Tell people what you need, what you want. Tell them I need friends. I need people that's like me who understand me. Make a YouTube channel. Put it out there. You'll get all kind of responses. Don't be shy. And don't feel like you're the only one in the world in that shape. And then you'll be able to help somebody else and help yourself at the same time. But you got to reach out and say what you want. And one thing in the Bible, it says, asking, you shall receive. Put it out there. Start a group. Find people that are like you and have the same desires that you have. Okay, that's all I want to say.
Totally agree. Totally agree. That's great.
Okay. Now, the truth that I was talking about earlier and ignorance.
The name of this piece is called Cliches of Wisdom. And it's a lot of colloquial cliches that I use in the piece, and then some of my own Older Day Jesus quotes mixed in together. Ignorance wrecks ships. Keep ignoring the clues, get swallowed by the sea. Keep looking the other way forever, forever. Keep holding your peace to keep the peace. Keep swallowing lies to compromise the truth. Ignorance wrecks. Host of a million demons surrounds. Keeping your ear to the ground, yet sounding no alarm is useless. Keep blurting out excuses, defending the secrets that will bury America. Ignorance, ignorance means to ignore the truth. The ways of the ignorant keep blurting out stupid shit. Interrupting and blaming, that is ignorant. Ignorance brings ignorance. Talking loud don't make you right neither. Talking fast don't make you right either. Sometimes people think you're a fool, but they're not quite sure until you open your mouth to prove it. Now it's case closed. Everybody knows you're stuck on stupid. Ignorance means to ignore the truth. Keep blurting out stupid shit. Interrupting and blaming, that's ignorance. Talking loud don't make you right. Talking fast don't either. People may think that you're a fool, but they're not sure until you open your mouth and prove it. So pay attention, learn to listen, be open to the truth and new renditions, and do not spew what you don't know. Check yourself before you wreck yourself, and stop ignoring what's been proven. Doing the same behavior the same wrong way is lethal. And do you always follow and go under the influence of silly people? Keep doing what never worked before, yet you'll keep trying to put the right foot on the left foot, left shoe on the right foot. And then you'll make a hat saying, let's make the right foot left again. The ignorance kills. Common sense, enough said. The end.
I was expecting to hear Love is Love in there.
I meant to tell you that, because that means the same thing as it is what it is.
You know, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's, you know, it's like, to me, it's just a statement that doesn't even need to be said, you know? But that's
right.
Yeah.
Same way it is what it is. When people say it just irks me.
Well, yeah,
I mean, yeah, okay.
I agree.
So now, love is love. Yeah. It means it is what it is, okay? It's love. Love is love. It is what it is, okay? Yeah,
I guess so, but it's funny. I hear that, and it's my immediate response right after hearing Love is Love is completely inappropriate after hearing Love is Love, which is to go, why did you even say something? You know, like, no one wants to respond
right
that way after you hear a statement like that.
It's just ignorance. Just saying something that they heard, don't have no reason to say it. And all I can say is, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Love is love, mama. Speaking of love, we
all
love
right
you, and thank you for everything you bring to us.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk.
All of us old poets are getting old now. Like, we're going up into 1223. I think some of my people are going to sleep.
Hey, you impress us every week, and we always look forward to it. So we will we'll look forward to it next time.
I don't think my guest made it back to the return engagement.
That's okay. That's okay. You know,
right,
and we'll continue further, and you know, hopefully he'll be back.
Okay.
All right. Thank
okay
you, Mama.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And that was Mama Ladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. some great wisdom there.
Yes, it was.
You know, it is what it is, JT.
It is what it is.
You know, you know, I've noticed there's these phrases, these sayings that we always use, and you know, you're a jerk if you actually press people on what it means, because that's not really what they're saying. They're just using. If you ask someone how they're doing, they're like, "Oh, I can't complain." Well, it's like, what, are you looking for a reason? Like, what, you want to complain but you can't, so it's
can't complain. You can't complain, because if you do, nobody's going to listen anyway.
Right. Well, fair enough. But at the same time, it's easy to pull things apart. But that's not actually what people are saying. They're just like, no, things are all right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually what they're saying. Things are okay. And so we, being the person who gets grumpy, and you know, that's not a place to be. That's not a place to be. True. However, the back of my head, sometimes stuff goes to work, I got to say. But I know, JT, that is my lower self. And I will not be indulging in said lower self. All right. Let's go now to round out. Let's go to Sinister in Missouri.
Oh.
Hey, Sinister. Hey, Sinister. If you can hear us, we cannot hear you. You need to call us right back. We'll take you live on the air. We're just having a Skype issue that happens occasionally, especially during the return engagement. All right. Let's see if he heard me. You think he heard me, JT?
I don't know. So I'm going to put in the post. I'm going to put in
the chat room as well? All right, cool. That makes sense. All right. It's been a great show tonight. I really...
Oh, there he is. Perfect.
Yeah. I think he's on top of it here, so we're going to be getting a call anytime now. You know, sometimes you ever feel like we're like 15-year-old girls, like, is he going to call? Okay. Here we go.
All right.
Hey, Sinister, welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. Yeah, there we go. We're right back to it.
Awesome, man. Yeah, we're right back in. All right, so here's the deal. It's been a great show. You're going to round it out for us. I know you got a long piece, so I'm going to step back and let you read.
Yeah, I'm going to read this piece. It's actually, it's a 4-year-old piece. I don't think I've ever read it on this show. One that took me 8 days and several hours to make happen, but it's one of my crowning achievements, and it is called Stratus Castle. Basking atop the Andes of Peru, I indulge in the flake and cocoa tea to ensue the hike through ravines amongst indigenous flora and polypus trees to crest upon the warm summit springs. Talking backward parables to the Inca gods, I ask that a humble poet be enlightened time for head in the heavens, unlike the theological imbecile who chooses to cram them harmoniously and cranium till splinters and seeps, orographic lip brings me diamond-studded eyes to the trophy spear atop and figure the shelf. My time is now. Like fireworks headshot to praise the saints, I hurl thick cumulus upon the foundation of my fortification, prancing about, picking alternating colors from sunrise to sunset, the quiescent and mixing wispings of purples, pinks, reds, golds, making new hues, shit on regulated colors as neoclassicism is dead. Sloth and glutton eye, building my castellated edifice and cirrus stratus tops to collide stratospheres. My protagonist higher than airliners allowed, bickering over Caranolus, this Jesuit god, and I can't even speak over tea. Bedazzled my chateau, I flaunt around and drag that would shame a 90s Castro bitch with these swinging hips dressed like this. Let us talk about fabulous. Such a debutante and pauper king am I, striding the anvil to define what is mine. When a siesta missed, you'll see the Incas unleashed to disperse my disgust for your institutionalized theatrics. I'm treaded in my Stratus Castle balcony of alto cumulus gives way to my backyard view of the Pacific. El Nino's atmospheric pressure harmonizes and lullabies me. Ride the current Baja-bound. Best fish tacos in one of those towns. The mushrooming of your canopy's ceiling is a warning eye. Carnal storage is full soon. Chaos unable to quell swells. Now, El Nino, she's quite the gal. Line her up at the bar, rail down and boogie in the disco till dawn breaks and we thrust a downburst to besiege her righteous ships, cast capsized by our ejaculations. Who gave you the idea I would bend to your aesthetics? Languidly strolling my bastion in the azure, dressed like Sonny Bono before that tragic slide, contempt in my premise that I'm king on high? Seeing these hypocrite bastards from my iridescent windows created from jet contrails and rage? See, these fitted despots in their business suits can't understand I'm Leisure Suit Larry and Extraordinary Eddies. Just my flatulence while coughing will shoot lightning to sear their moral fiber. Juxtapose my irrational outburst with your banality to see who comes out clean. I'll fury you with vertical gesticulation to extract that snide face, filthy rhetoric, and that fucking labradoodle, too. Summon gales to blitzkrieg grandstanders. When high heels fault, I cry from wounded knees, 60 feet, 6,500 feet high and soaring. Ha! You thought your way was huge? Why is it? No one clarifies the reason for Lecce. Think. Poets rarely wax inside about cheese. Small masses will attenuate the order. Despicable conglomerates fail to ascend upon your sophistication and their sanction for your one-sided helm. I am Prometheus, giving you thunder and fire, my teeth warmed from the insolence above, as my strength to uphold regime is waning. More abound in your fascist state of Venus and Laureate. Who thought such eloquence could annihilate one's conviction? I equaled my hopes in velvet and amethyst upon the doctrine scribed in gold. Ascertain I'm bamboozled via apostates. Hey, chromatic citadel sanctioned below the Inca kings to occupy in a world of erroneous autocracy. Omitted mortal vessels receding fervent aquatic peril. Resuscitating receptacle antagonizing this elusive state. A brouhaha, illogical tomfoolery I impose. Tantrum of tornadoes and hurricanes spun updraft and low impression of the humidity and equitable flights. Ring wrap twisters rode through imperialistic cities as jeweled my nails tear through the ground. Help be spiked on sangria flicked over comatose enhancement of self-asserted insurgents to heads of state. True, my deplorable is melodrama and fantastically phosphorescent colored wigs. Manner would be Day-Glow, but you see what I'm working with. Roaring, crashing synapses as jet streams jockey. No tears. Empathy massacred by silk stalkers. Surface saturated. Piss the bed again. Blustering, exalted, romantic, lunatic, walking the fringe. This acropolis would assume by some the pearly gates. I'm going for multicolored hysteria to tantalize the taint. The pressure brought atomizes. Atomizes the gust and showed Lady Liberty's intimate things with sneeze, the cold seas blow by blow your socialist tampering. Transcend petty, I quell half-baked militant boasting, egotistically pleased with solitary reflection and rainbow mirrors, chastising, begrudging your despondency from which I withdrew to paint my own visions crystallized in my rotunda full of vivacity. Afflicting me like that barely legal girl ravenously crooning for love letters and dedications to explicitize. Propaganda. The growing inquiries of which side the grass radiates. Wherever dogs are shitting. Inner repugnance is where I obtain logical fruit. I always explode prematurely when my bristle spunks the master theory of my libido. Fabricated horizontal, this Alcazar covers my disdain. Nasty loathing with ludicrous composition. Driven avidity to reprieve feathers hemorrhaging that disavowed pseudo-intellectual elocution. When will deduction be the tongue of empowered apes spoiling the fruits of Eve by way of decrepit smidgen chicane? I'm rousing up fog from the deepest, dampest natostratus, siphoning warmth of your domain. This psychophant slithering you, vile organisms, the ides of my content. Let mortal vessels die to reign cloud king of the ignoramus. So crowned am I content. And peace.
Well done, sir. That's a great. It's a great piece.
Hey, yeah, I haven't read that in forever, man. I've smoked like a pack of cigarettes in the last 12 hours, so that I can even breathe is amazing.
Well, you got through it, man. We were watching it, and we were watching the time. We're like, man, he actually timed this really well.
Yeah,
you finished a little bit early, which is great.
About 7 minutes.
6 and a half. Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
Not cool. Bad. Yeah. Well, hey, Sinister, we appreciate you, man. Thank you for thanks for your work. Thanks for closing us out in such style. And we'll talk to you next time, hopefully.
Yeah. Oh, well, all right, gentlemen. Have a good night.
Thank you, too, amen, sir.
You as well. And that was Sinister Colin from Missouri, rounding out our return engagement set. Now, we've got one more week in the month of January. We will be off on the 14th, or Valentine's Day.
Yes.
One, so Christine, JT's wife, does not kill me. Two, because generally on nights like that, when we decide to do a show, it's just so slow traffic.
Yeah.
We could do the Lonely Hearts Club show. That'd actually be pretty funny. I could host that on my own.
You could.
I'm one man alone in a room hosting a radio show to other lonely people. I'll figure out something to do. I don't know. I'll just sit here and stand on a corner and be like, I'm so alone. No, I'm kidding. I won't.
Just keep wallowing in
it. I'm just going to keep, after everything I just said to Zach, I'm just going to start leaning into it. but we will be back next week, and then which is the 31st, and then we'll be back on the 7th as well. I think next week will also have to be the super show, because it's right before Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Super Sunday. The not real Super Sunday, which of course we all know is Easter. But the secular Super Sunday, where at the end of the game they hand out bowls and some of them are very super.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. All right. But for this evening was great. Thank you, everyone, for inviting the new poets. Thank you for bringing great work and for just everything you bring to the show and our community. It is really respected. It's really appreciated. And we do love you very much. From Novia, the studio cat. From Ursa, the studio dog. From JT, I almost said the studio producer.
It's okay.
And from myself, thank you. We really enjoyed the evening. We'll see you next time. And until then, keep on writing. Good night.